Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the CTT second quarter 2020 results call. At this time, all participants' line will be muted. After the speaker presentation, there will be a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, and I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker, the CEO, Mr. Joao Bento. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our first semester webcast. I'm going to take you through the first part of the presentation and then hand over to our CFO, Guy Pacheco. So as main takeaways, we had an obviously very challenging second quarter in which the company, the company's six-pillar response to the crisis has been proven, in our opinion, rather effective, namely in which refers to keeping employee and customer safety, and ensuring thus business continuity, but also in what were our efforts in terms of investing in new B2B and B2C client relationships, namely in what refers to e-commerce, BPO and business solutions, which enabled, in our view, a more dynamic and growth-oriented business for the future. The company has chosen not to participate in government layoff schemes, despite the extra costs incurred with excess capacity, but that was precisely what enabled us to ensure business continuity, and we focused instead in providing a lifeline to communities and to the economy, demonstrating our commitment to a sustainable universal postal service, since this is a very critical period because we are now in the process of renewing the concession. A strong performance on our growth levers, mostly propelled by record quarterly growth in parcels, not only growth in revenues but also with improved profitability, despite the testing shift in mix between B2B and B2C, B2B declining, B2C growing very steadily. The outcome of this quarter increased our confidence that the performance of the Spanish parcels operation is aligned with the communicated plan, which, as you might recall, establishes break-even for next year. Based on the performance of the local management team, on market share gains, and also on favorable trends in terms of outlook for e-commerce. Moving to the bank, we have adopted what we consider conservative provisioning policy in order to prepare it to face potentially challenging macroeconomic scenarios for the second semester. And throughout the pandemic crisis, we have been able to preserve a very solid balance sheet with interesting cash generation, ample liquidity, and therefore maintaining a low level of net financial debt. Looking at margin and cost, we will remain very focused throughout the remainder of the year with various operational improvement initiatives being launched, both in Portugal and in Spain. What we consider a notable recovery towards the end of the quarter, and as we are going to see, June was a very promising month. It provides a stepping stone for the remainder of the year. And as a result of sales countermeasures to cope with the sudden decline in mail and the new, more dynamic, growth-oriented business that we are looking at, we expect to achieve by year-end growth in revenues, driven mostly by parcels, more than 90 million euros of EBITDA, and more than 30 million euros in EBIT for the full year. Moving to the main highlights for the quarter, so as I said, a notable recovery on the quarter, benefiting from the easing of lockdown restrictions by the end of the quarter, and the gradual return to normal life and normal business activity for individuals and also for cargo. Addressed mail volumes were affected by a delayed or cancelled campaigns in a number of clients, mail campaigns, and also very substantially on air freight disruptions, especially for international mail, and therefore address mail volumes declined by 24.5 as a combination of, I would say, rather normal month of June with a just below 7% decline, with a steep decline in April of 28%, which produced a 19.3% decrease in mail revenues for the quarter. On the other hand, parcels behaved extremely well, with volumes growing in Portugal at 37% and in Spain almost doubling, 91.5%, which gave rise to a record 11.7 million increase in revenues. But as I said before, not only revenues improved, margins improved as well, despite a number of one-off initial investments in e-commerce, in the e-commerce ecosystem. And for the first time, for quite some time, the combination of Portugal and Spain produced a positive EBIT for the quarter. Moving to the bank, the bank was obviously not immune to the pandemic, mostly because of reduced hours of operation in the retail network, but also because people kept reasonably restricted, and also because of a partial closure of auto dealerships, which is an important placement network for auto loans. However, EBITDA benefited from growth in net interest and also from commissions income and the stricter cost control. So all in all, it was a positive quarter for the bank as well. Public debt certificate placements amounted to 1.9 billion euros, 11% higher than the first quarter, despite a 31% decline in the second quarter. The activity, which went down by 50% at peak of the crisis, again, because those people would not move, were very strict, but also the retail stores were working on a very reduced timing. But it has since been steadily recovering, actually, with very nice numbers in June and even better in July, as we are going to see. Moving into a bit more detail for the mail business area, it was severely impacted by the global restrictions on movement and operation of individuals and businesses and cargo in April and May, and performed a meaningful recovery in June. We have decided to exhibit the evolution throughout the 3 months of the quarter, precisely because it is a very good graphical depiction of what happened. The lockdown restrictions and the reduced retail network hours of operation impacted individuals and SMEs, because SMEs mail also uses a lot the retail network, and led to a diminished demand by large customers such as banking and telecoms and utilities, resulting in a total atypical mail volumes decline for these 2 months of 25%, 32%, which is obviously not very common, and as we've seen for ordinary priority and green mail, a 9.7% decline in June, which is a bit more normal, a much better performance in registered mail, which was affected also by delays in the issuance of statements by government entities and the administration, such as, for example, tax notices and court notifications, but this is mostly delayed mail and revenues that will be recovered throughout the year. As a proof of that, we've moved from a 51.5% decline in April and 43.5% in May to a mere 2.1% decline in June, but still providing a combined very serious decline in registered mail for the group. International mail is the one which is still suffering from a lack of return to normality, because as you all know, postal cargo flows mostly through passenger flights, and that is still very, very and therefore, although we have seen June with an interesting recovery, also because some of this inbound is now arriving by land. But even with a decent recovery in June, it still provides a combination which is very, very abnormal. So all in all, a very abnormal decline, but with what I would call an also very promising month of June. Moving to parcels and financial services, we had a record quarterly growth in parcels, both in Portugal and Spain, partly because our initiatives to foster development of e-commerce are starting to bear fruit in Portugal. And as a result of that, we have seen an almost 50% growth in parcels revenues in Portugal and now almost twofold growth in Spain. In Portugal, we've seen the population finally embracing at a higher speed online shopping. It's becoming a reality. And our investments during this period were able to meet this client habits change with, for example, more than 300 SMEs out of now 1,100 contracted have their online shops within our platform made operational to date. And for example, in Dot, our marketplace, it reached 1,000 online vendors and now more than 150,000 registered users in June. So very good dynamics with some investment, but also producing very good results. The capture of new global B2C e-tail clients in Spain enabled us to grab a very interesting market share. And albeit at lower margins, because of the combination of more B2C and less B2B, it more than compensated the decline in B2B volumes. So all in all, very good performance for parcels during the quarter, both in terms of quantity and in terms of margin. Public debt placements, as I referred, benefited from the lifting of restrictions by the end of the quarter. Movement of people and reception of normal retail activity produced interesting results, and placements almost doubled from 6.1 million per day per workday in April to 11.5 million per workday in June, and is improving actually with a higher average placement already in July, and we see these progressing because the trend towards private savings is very positive these days. A more detailed word on the bank. Banco CTT's customers' flight to safety was quite evident in the renewed strong capture of deposits, and credit activity is now gradually recovering under stricter lending standards, both for individuals and for auto loans and mortgages. Auto loan production was impacted by the closure of the auto dealers, as I mentioned, because non-essential businesses were compelled to close during the lockdown. And recovery has been very strong during the month of June, with an interesting market share progression and now a higher number of placements of slightly lower credits. But looking at the numbers, we moved from a 50% reduction in April through a 21% reduction in May to a 16% growth in June, and therefore the quarter was not that bad. And we see this trend now being reinforced. Mortgage production remained very resilient, but also because there is a very large time lag, and the pipeline was strong. Therefore, April was a very good month with 35.1% growth in placements. But in June, we have a symmetrical figure, exactly because during the pandemic crisis and confinement, there was no formation of pipeline, and therefore mortgages had an almost zero growth or 2% growth during the quarter. But things now getting back to normal are also enabling the formation of a new pipeline. Looking at customer deposits, the capture recovered strongly, evidencing the bank's excellent standing among the population despite the introduction of new debit card commissions in the quarter. This is a very important single event. The bank was launched and its growth and success in the early days was on top of no frills, no commissions. And so this kind of behavior in the quarter with the crisis and the introduction of commissions is very interesting. June has seen a 50% increase in deposits, but Portugal is now going through a high all-time record in terms of deposits. Having said so, I will handle the words to Gui Pacheco, our CFO, for the figures.
Thank you, João. So, good morning. Starting at page 10, we can see our detailed figures for the first half. It was obviously a very challenging second quarter with the pandemic situation at its peak during April and May, with unprecedented business interruption in mail. And as a result, our revenues were negatively affected by this context in all business units, except some parcels that benefited from the accelerated e-commerce growth that we saw during this period. Nevertheless, our revenues declined 5% in the quarter, heavily affected by the mail division and loss of volumes and financial services with lower public debt placements, especially throughout April and May. EBITDA declining 48.2%, reflecting this evolution on these two divisions. Impairments and provisions reaching 8.2 million euros, 5.8 million of which coming from Banco CTT, and 2.3 million in mail division. In Banco CTT, we had a 3.1 million euros of extra provisioning for forward-looking effect to account for the expected losses from the projected economic downturn. Net income with a decline in EBITDA and increase in impairments was negative in 5.7 million euros in the quarter and bringing the first half to an average negative 2 million euros, but with the same recovering trend as we saw in the EBITDA chart that Ron shared with you. Moving to revenues, on page 11, revenue is declining 1.6% with a very strong performance in Express and Parcels and CTT that unfortunately was not enough to compensate the effect of the pandemic in mail. Express and Parcels, especially strong in the second quarter, that accounted for 11.7 million euros out of the 12.3 million that we achieved in the first half, on the back of a strong volume growth in Spain and Portugal. Since the beginning of the confinement, e-commerce growth has been driving the growth of this business area. And this is, since then, it's been sustained growth. Banco CTT, excluding 3-to-1 credit, growing 62.6%, and the 3-to-1 credit in a comparable basis is growing 18%, although we cannot capture that because of the consolidation effect since April last year. The restrictions on people movements have affected the payments area and mortgage and auto credit. In June, auto loans recovered fast, but mortgages still need to reconstruct the pipeline as real estate transactions resume. But here the recovery will be slower because we need to reconstruct that pipeline. Financial services were also heavily affected by the restriction on people movements until the end of May. That affected public debt subscription. Since then, with a recovery, but despite this recovery in June, revenue still declined 0.4% in the second quarter, and still benefiting from a very strong first quarter in revenues that enabled us to still grow 200K in the first half. As João mentioned, savings for the Portuguese people are at a record high level. That should help this business going forward, and we continue to see sustained sequential improvement on debt placement throughout June and July. Mail volumes were heavily affected by the impact of the lockdown, with the volume declining 24.5% in the quarter and 18% in the first half. As a result, revenue declined 14% or 33.2 million euros. Two-thirds of this decline coming from B2B clients, mainly Portuguese state financial sector and telecoms. The other third is half coming from retail and half coming from inbound revenues. Volumes recovered throughout June, although still below January and February levels. Additionally, the diversifying strategy to find alternative revenue streams in these divisions start to show some progress, with business solutions growing 49.8% or 2.8 million euros in the first half. Our operating costs on page 12 are growing 2.3%, driven by parcel, express and parcels, and the incorporation of 3Point Credit. Mail and other declining 7.4%, 1.8 million related with lower healthcare costs, and 5.6 million related with lower activity and savings from the ongoing effort to reduce costs on this division. Express and parcels growing 11.4 million, 9.6 million in the second quarter as a result of 66 volume increase in this business unit. Despite this increase we saw in the second quarter, unit cost per parcel declined significantly both in Portugal and Spain due to higher volumes and efficiency measures that are being implemented. Further progress should be made, especially in Spain, with initiatives with new dynamic routing systems and new sorting centers that are being implemented in the second half. Banco CTT growing mainly reflecting incorporation of 3-1 credit, excluding 3-1 credit to Banco CTT, declining costs in the second quarter, mainly to lower marketing activity. Financial services declining 1.1 million with lower direct costs from retail and lower activity in the stores and some cost efficiency measures. Our EBITDA in page 13, as revenues, was also heavily impacted by mail volumes between March and May in the first half, and especially in April and May in the second quarter, that resulted in a decline of 28%. Mail with minus 25.9 million euros, 17 million of each in the second quarter. The strong revenue decline was not offset by the cost savings. CTT chose not to participate in layoff schemes and incur some extra costs with excess capacity, but focus on in providing a lifeline to the communities and its commitment with the universal services, as Juan already mentioned, in this special year. During the end of May, of April and May, we kept operation running while keeping 15% of operational workforce safe at home as a backup for in the case of mass infections affecting the workforce in the field. And as such, we had some excess capacity in the network. Express and parcels with a strong performance in the second quarter, EBITDA increased 2.1 million. Euros mainly in Portugal. In the first half, this performance is still overshadowed by the Spanish division. In Portugal, we continue to decrease costs significantly, unit costs with some meaning, which drove our EBITDA margin to double digits in the quarter. In Spain, we also saw significant progress in the unit costs that improved margins, but that they are still negative. The second quarter performance nevertheless showed us that we can grow volumes and market share in Spain with some meaning, and unit costs are progressing in the right direction. Unit costs should continue to improve as the turnaround plan continues to be implemented at a good pace. Banco CTT growing 10.6 million, 7 million coming from 3-1 credit, but the underlying trends in the business showing resilience during this period. Financial services weighing 1.4 million the first half, although public debt subscriptions and retail suffering with the restriction on people movements in the second quarter. And as a result, EBITDA declined 22.8% in this quarter. EBIT declining in the next page 14, 75.3%, due to the decline in EBITDA driven by mail and with the increase on impairments and provisions. Impairments and provisions increased 8.7 million, 6.7 out of which coming from the bank. Out of these 6.7 million, we have that 3.1 additional provision for the forward-looking effect based on expected lower GDP growth than higher unemployment in the second half. The remaining 3.6 million reflects the impact of consolidation of Circon Credit for the first month of the year, although with growth in the impairments due to higher cost of risk on this quarter. Specific items decreased 10.9 million due to lower indemnities and lower expenses with the operation transformation plan that is coming to its end. And D&A increased 3.3 million due to higher capex in these last 2 years, investments that we made in automation, both in postal and in parcels and IT network architecture. Going to the cash flow in page 16, our operating cash flow in the first half reached 3.9 million euros, heavily affected by the performance of EBITDA minus capex and by working capital evolution. Our working capital was negative 17.8 million, 15 million coming from high amount of capex, namely in machines and in postal and parcel done in December last year that were paid throughout this year, and 2.8 million essentially from accounts receivable. Our free cash flow after taxes and employee benefits was negative 0.6 million in the first half. Our own cash now stands 114.1 million euros, and our net debt is 65 million euros. If we include the lease liabilities, without them, we should have a net cash position of 23 million. And now I will hand you over to João Ben.
Thank you, Guy. Well, we'd like to close with a few notes on the outlook. And assuming a gradual recovery of the economy and continued improvement of the pandemic situation, the company expects that the positive dynamics that have been built throughout the crisis in its growth levers will endure. A negative note on mail, significant reductions in letter, in statements and advertising mail are expected to lead to double-digit addressed mail volumes decline for the year, which is obviously a very abnormal year. But then a number of positive notes. Express and parcels will continue to be the main growth engine, spurred by fast e-commerce adoption and continued market share gains and margin improvements, both in Portugal and in Spain. Banco CTT is currently well provisioned and duly capitalized to face potential challenges in the second semester, assuming a gradual recovery of the economy. And the Portuguese population's propensity to save has been steadily increasing and remains so after the pandemic, which bodes well for a very strong placement of public debt. So all in all, we'd like to leave you with an outlook with the three main points. We expect to achieve growth in revenues for the year, driven mostly by parcels, but also business solutions. More than 90 million euros of EBITDA, and more than 30 million euros in EBIT. And this is the outlook. And with this, we would close the presentation and remain available for Q&A.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will now begin the question and answer session. And as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone keypad. Once again, that is star and one to ask a question. Thank you. And our first question comes from the line of Philip Plata from Caixa Bank BPI. Your line is now open.
Good morning, everyone. I have three questions, if I may. The first one on universal service contract, and if you can give us an update on the process and when do you expect to reach a final agreement, if you still believe that it's possible to have a new contract this year or signed this year to be implemented in the January of next year. Second question, if you can tell us what were your main assumptions in terms of GDP growth and unemployment rate that lead to the extra provision made in Banco CTT. And final one on dividend, and if with this new guidance that you provide, you expect to be able to resume dividend payment next year on this year results, and if this dividend could be at the level of the initial dividend proposal for this year that was in the meantime canceled, or if it could be lower, considering that your expectations on EBITDA for this year are lower than previous one. Thank you.
Thank you, Philippe. Well, regarding the first question on a bit on the process, as you are aware, there's no formal process still going on, which in a way provides an answer for the second part of your question, which is if we believe there will still be possible for us to have a new contract in place for the 1st of January. My very prudent statement is that it's becoming more and more unlikely that we will be ready for the 1st of January. But as it's been very public in the past weeks, the tension between the regulator and government is increasing and has been increased, mostly because of 5G matters. And I think that it has somehow postponed, complicated those more complicated relations. Has somehow postponed priority that was being awarded by government to this situation. So, having said so, we keep discussing with government, which is the grantor of the concession, what are our preferences and concerns for the forthcoming concession contract. Relations are very good, and despite the holiday period, we've been maintaining contact, which we hope will resume more steadily as soon as government is able to progress with the 5G matters and therefore concentrate on postal. I will leave the numbers with the main assumptions for Guy. Regarding the last question on guidance, I'd like to recall that we have decided to have an explicit dividend policy some time ago, even before I was CEO of the company, and any change needs to be a change in policy. And so it's obviously too early to consider changing policy. If policy remains, obviously dividend would be a lower one, but it's too early, so I'll not commit to any new statement on that matter for the moment, which I think it's early days.
On the question on the macro scenario, we based, as you know, it's a weighted average modeling with some scenarios, but the base case, it's the base case of Banco Portugal of June that states that for the full year, a GDP decline of 9.5%. And an unemployment rate above 10%, 10.1% of in unemployment rate.
Okay, thank you. Just a follow-up on the dividends. Can you recall what are your current dividend policy in place?
It's a dividend in line with net profit.
Thank you. We will now take our next question that comes from the line of Marco Limit from Barclays. Your line is now open. Hello, is this Marco? Yes, I'm sorry.
Hi, sorry, I was on mute. Sorry. thanks for the presentation. I've got three questions. The first one is in the parcel division. So I'm just wondering if you can actually give a little bit of color on what actually is happening in Spain and how the turnaround is going, and if you are still reiterating the previous target of for the Spanish business. And also in the Portuguese business, you were saying that you were gaining some kind of market share, and if you can quantify that. My second question is about the USO, and if you can kind of expect the USO business to be profit-making for the full year. And thirdly, if you can give a little bit of color on the July exit rate. Thanks.
Thank you. And we will now take our next question that comes from the line of Arturo Maro from Caixa BI. Your line is now open.
I'm sorry, we didn't answer
first.
Yes, Marco, would you please repeat your second question?
Hello, excuse me, Mr. Marco, your line is now open again. Please ask your question.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, now we can.
Okay, sorry, something going on. I was just asking if you expect the USO business to be EBIT positive in 2020.
Hello, excuse me, since at the line of Mr. Marco got disconnected.
Okay, so Marco, if I understand the first question on color on Spain turnaround and target. So what we have in Spain is a huge improvement in revenues, almost doubling revenues, but with a very different mix. With especially a lot of e-commerce with new customers at a much lower price, and so a mix which is not as interesting as before, but the quantity has been able to offset all that. We as a result of that. Also because the turnaround plan was founded also on a substantial growth in revenues and in volumes, we are now we remain confident, not to say that we are even more confident than before, that we should be able to stick with the turnaround plan, whose target is to cross operational break-even during 2021. And so, to be clear, yes, we remain solid on that. For market share in Portugal, we don't have any very robust third-party data provider, but according to our model, expectation, and market intelligence, we have now reached 43% of market share for domestic flows, 7% for Iberian flows, and 6% for international flows, which is a growth, roughly growth on aggregate terms of 4 percentage points. Moving to the USO, what we are now considering, and given the outlook and the performance on the first semester, is that May will have a positive EBIT across the year. As for July, we have basically Mail in the retail network with a very good performance, on a workday basis, we are seeing July at higher values than we have forecasted. But B2B is not very good. So all in all, for Mail, we are basically with mixed feelings between what happened in July in June and July, and it should remain as we speak stable. We have this split between three parts of lost Mail. Mail that is lost forever, because it's a consequence of faster digitalization. Mail that was lost for the year, but is going to resume next year. For example, I'd like to use this example: speed tickets or parking tickets penalties that we process. Of course, next year people will be driving their cars and therefore being fined again. So that is mail that we lost for the year, but it's coming again next year. And it's of course coming to normal also for the remainder of the year. And then there is the third part, which is the most interesting one, that is mail that was postponed. And for example, we were expecting a much stronger mail outflow from the tax authorities in July. That is not coming. So this is why we remain neutral on behavior of mail. It should be something probably not as good as in June, but certainly much better than before. Moving to parcels, parcels in Portugal is developing a very good rhythm. We of course are coming slightly lower values than at the peak of the crisis. So if the pandemic doesn't progress, we should sustain very high growth, most likely aligned with what we had in June. As for financial services and public debt placements, July, as I said, was already substantially higher than June per workday. Actually, I can disclose the figure. We had a placement of 13.5 million euros, which is clearly above what we had in June. It might sustain a strong behavior, and we are forecasting a very good year for financial services as well. I think there was a third question. Third question on the. Oh no, sorry. This was the third question.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Arturo Mar from CaixaBI. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I just have a quick question, more like a confirmation. Your new guidance assumes that EBITDA should be above 90 million, but then you have a note saying that it's EBITDA excluding the D&As, special items, and IFRS. Just to confirm where this figure stood in the second half of the year. Is it 46.7 million? Are we talking about the same metric? This is my question. Thank you.
In page 13, you can see the metrics is the 33.4 million that is the EBITDA that we normally.
Ah, okay. That's the 33.4.
Okay. Yep.
So you're assuming a very significant recovery second half of the year. That's what I can.
Yeah, we are assuming growth year on year on the second half of the year.
Just a follow-up, if I may, and what will be the, if you can disclose, of course, what will be the main lever of growth of this EBITDA in the second half of the year? Will be cost-cutting? Will be recovery at the mail? If you can give some color on that. Thank you.
Of course. So pretty much we see for the second half of the year, rest of the year, that is pretty much aligned what was our previous expectations before COVID, except in parcels where we are seeing much more growth since the pandemic, and that is better than we initially expected. So parcels and the continued growth of Banco CTT will continue to compensate a mail evolution that is softer than we initially expected. Financial services will recover throughout the year, but still not enough to post growth because last year we had a very strong second half with the maturities of public debts. And those are the main levers. So Express and Parcels, both in Portugal, continue to grow with improved margins and Spain improving losses during the second half, and still strong dynamics from Banco CTT, and mail of course recovering to what was near the normality we had before, although volumes should remain a little bit more precious than we saw in January and February.
Okay. Thank you very much for your answer.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Philip Pleta from CaixaBank BPI. Your line is now open.
I have just one additional question in terms of guidance. If you are still guiding for a 30 million capex for this year. Thank you.
Yes, in that region should be between the 30 to 32 million euros.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe Philip, just a very short note here. Part of the improvement in margins and is improvement in capacity for parcels, and that is associated with capex that has been committed a long time ago, but it's now being performed. So it's very important, CapEx.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Okay, so with no further questions, let me thank you again for attending our webcast and keep in touch with us and through Peter for the follow-up discussions. Thank you for coming. Good morning.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect. Speakers, please stand by.